Book of Ruth, chapter 1. Far and away, one of my favorite books. Why don't we have some light in here, Robert? Light? Let's have a light of a different kind. We'll pray. Illumine our understanding, dear Father. Help us to get the message you would have us to come away with. In this blessed book, we want to understand it. We want to know Jesus. At the end of the day, Lord, we always want to know Jesus more than we knew him before. Pray you'd bless to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly a book about Jesus Christ. You say, I don't see it. Hey, by the way, let me just take a kind of random poll here. Anyone here, like, I'm pretty good with the book of Ruth. I could have a study and I think I could do a halfway decent job of teaching it. Really? You know what you are? You're just a humble person. That's what you are. And I'm okay with that. I'm not suggesting that that's a bad thing. How many people like, I know a little bit about it. I don't think I'd teach it. But this ain't my first time through either. How many like, I don't know this. This is totally new to me. No one? Okay. I just got a sense. And I'm hoping, I don't care how adept you are at this, because every time I study, every time I pull it out, I find some more things. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now we have the timeline. The judges, depending on who you talk to, 330-ish to 400 years. Like the longer one, because it was the first one I learned. Somebody who I depend on a lot said it was about 400 years time of the judges. We don't know exactly. You probably can figure it out from the coronation of, you know, probably Solomon, and then work backwards, you know, to time of, you know, Saul and how many years he reigned and then how many years David reigned. We know when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. I don't have any of these dates right on top of my brain. But we could probably figure out about how long the time of the judges was. Let's just say about 400 years. Now, some people place it really in the beginning of the time of the judges. And I have my own ideas. Some people place it about the time of Gideon. Some people place it towards the end and say it was concurrent with, like, Samuel and Samson are growing up at this time. And we don't really know. And the only hint that you have is there was a famine in the land. Now, how many famines are in the land during that time? Certainly one at the time of Gideon. You know, you remember, the Midianites came and they took all the crops, they were like grasshoppers, you know what I mean? I don't know that it's really a benefit to be able to tell what time during the time of the judges. But the backdrop is the time of the judges. What is that important to us? Because we know judges. It's the time when everyone was doing their own thing. Now, the Bible tells us, and I think it's we do well to rehearse this. The Bible says that everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. It's not like they were trying to do evil, by and large. But right in our own eyes is wrong according to God. Only always. Can I give you a little bit of evidence of that? Can I just submit into evidence America, 2024? I heard our beloved, dear president say yesterday, he was talking about you and your ilk and me and my ilk, and he was saying something about how hysterical, right-wing, crazy policies that take away a woman's right to choose. Is that really right in his eyes? Well, I'll take him at face value. I believe he believes he's a moral man. Let's just go with that, okay? I'm not calling the man a hypocrite. He believes he's doing what's right in his own eyes. Is that right in God's eyes? No. No. I have a verse. Thou shalt not kill, okay? It's not like I make this stuff up, all right? There's no Bible verse, thou shalt take away a woman's right to choose. So I'm not stepping over any Bible verses that I know of. And all said and done, I believe in freedom. I believe in choice in a generic sense. But when you choose to end a life, no, that's a bridge too far. I'm not going there. Again, I have a Bible verse. Thou shalt do no murder. That's what the verse actually says, okay? So we're all on that. This is that time. It's like, look out the door and we'll see, oh, we're living in the time of the judges. And that's kind of important to us. Why? Because there was a famine in the land, and now we're going to know some people. We're going to meet some people here. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Isn't that interesting? Okay, he could be from anywhere, but he's from Bethlehem, Judah. This sets the stage for shepherds and magi and Jesus being born. And we're setting the table for that. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Well, because Micah said so. Yeah, but why did Micah call that shot? Why didn't he say, I mean, he could have said anywhere. He said he could have been born in Medway, Maine. And then God would have set it up so that they crossed the ocean. You know what I mean? Why Bethlehem, Judah? Because of this book. Okay, we're setting the table here. And you'll see this later on as it unfolds. We have a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, and he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now, this is the nub of it. This is the crux of it, if you will. Did they do good or did they do bad? Now, it depends who you listen to. There's a famine. Well, okay, I got to take care of business. I got to feed my family, and off they go. They move for a better financial situation. Okay, right? Wait a second. Let me ask you a little bit of a question. Just here's my heart now. Did you pray? Did you seek the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Do you lean on your own understanding? Or do you acknowledge him in all your ways? Because if you do, he will direct your path. Well, Adam, I don't know about any of that stuff. I know there's a famine. There's food over here. I'm going over here. They left the house of bread, Bethlehem, remember? And there was no bread in the house of bread. Is this a judgment from God? Obviously. We read the book, Judges. There's many times where God is saying, okay, I told you and I told you and I told you, and you rehearsed this. Remember Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim? You remember the blessings, you remember the cursings. If you deny me, this bad stuff's going to happen. If you follow me, oh, you won't be able to take in all the blessing. Now it's one of those low ebbs. They've foolishly chased after other gods, and God's saying, okay, you want to do that? Well, I'm withholding blessing. Now, it's a good thing to go after blessing elsewhere. Because I have people sometimes, you know, saying, well, you know, in Maine, which is the state of opportunity right now. It really is. I mean, if you can't get a job here, you're not hardly trying. You know what I mean? They're advertising every building. And we'll start you at $15.50 if you know what a French fry even looks like. You can throw it in a deep fryer and here you go. And we'll... I'm not suggesting all the jobs are great, but I mean, if a person wanted a job, this is the time, this is the place. Okay? I'm just saying, right? That hasn't always been that way in Maine. Yeah, we remember. We came here, oh my goodness. 1981, it was a recession, and there were no jobs. I mean, if you got a job as a dishwasher, hang on to it. If you were a chambermaid or I'm trying to think of low economic. I'm not saying like these things are bad, like, but if you... It was really a tough time. You remember when I got out of the Marine Corps, I came back here. I was coming back, and a friend of mine said, you going to Maine? Them folks don't even know we're out of the Depression yet. How true that was. It wasn't always a land of opportunity. So people say, well, I got to go. I mean, we export our children. That's our chief export here in Maine, right? We send our children off to earn big money, right? Sad. But that's the way it is. And people go. Why? Because there's opportunity elsewhere. Is that a good thing? Depends where you go. Listen. You go and land a heathen and then your children marry poorly and their spouses drag them away from the faith. Is that a good thing? Where are you moving to? Where are you going to go to church? Is that kind of on the radar anywhere? Because he's moving to a place where, how's he going to worship God? How's he going to do Shabbat? How's he going to, when he sins, how's he going to make it right with God? What does the Day of Atonement look like in this man's life? What is... He's got to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Not Jerusalem, but Shiloh at this point, right? How's he going to do all that? No, I think it's a bad thing. And I think he would know about Abraham goes to the promised land. God says, here, Abraham, I got a place for you right here. Then there's famine. What happens? Abraham ducks right down to Egypt. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it was a good thing, Adam. You get very wealthy. Well, it was a bad thing. He got Hagar. Well, it was a bad thing. He pimped out his wife to another man's harem. There was some bad, wasn't there? Where was it? Where did Isaac go down to? Gerar, I think it was, when there was a famine in the land. So he went. He didn't go out of the promised land, but he went to Gerar. That was fine because he's still in the promised land. But then remember, he's a chip off the old block. Oh, Rebecca? Yeah, she's my sister. You know, at least when Abraham said about Sarah, she's my sister, at least it was an all lie, but it was a half-truth all lie, okay? A half-truth is a lie. I don't know how you guys, and we're not supposed to bear false witness. But anyway, Isaac said about Rebecca, she's my sister. No truth to it at all. So I'm running from famine, and I run headlong into sin. I mean, if I look at Scripture, and I think, like, I got to work. I got to feed my family. And I've had people tell me this. You know, a guy's a bartender, he gets saved. Well, it's what I know. It's what I do. I have to feed my family. Must you? Is that your... Now, you pray and you seek God. If God's leading you to be a bartender, run that by your pastor, okay? But if it didn't, I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not going to try to be a... every time someone has a new job, run it by me. A bartender, really? You know? So is a famine, and he goes to Moab. In Moab, they don't worship Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. They worship Chemosh. He's bad. Any God that's not the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is bad. There's a child sacrifice God. So he drags his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. Now we know some Hebrew. Come on. What's El? God. Yeah. Like Joel, like Daniel, like Michael, any El or El, like Elimelech. What's Melech? King. Very good. See how we're learning? This is so exciting. God is king. God is my king, is actually what his name means. That's a really good name. I don't know if any of you are expecting anytime soon or I know anybody who is. I just suggest that name. My God is King. That is so cool. And we know that name's very important in Scripture. The name of his wife was Naomi. And Naomi, of course, means pleasant. Pleasant. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sickly. Okay, born during a famine, maybe. I don't know that I give the kid that handle for life, you know. Maybe he'll rebound, maybe he'll get strong, I don't know. He's born sickly, and that's what you want to call him? Oh my goodness. And his brother's even worse in my thinking. Chilion means pining, like pining away, like think about someone dying of what used to be called consumption. You know, I call them sick and tired. That's my nickname for them anyway. They are Ephrathites of Benjamin. Ephrathah is the area. You know, we said like here, where is it? We're in Kennebec County. You know, but I say, you know, where's the church? I say Kennebec County. People know. I say. Where specific? Say, oh, Fairfield. It's like that, okay? Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem and Judah, not Bethlehem up south. And it's in an area called Ephrathah. They're Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there 10 years. They took them wives of the woman of Moab. Duh! Did you bring girls with them to marry? So they're marrying unbelievers. Now, I check this out. This is not absolutely forbidden in Scripture. There's tribes in the land, and they don't inherit, Moab or Edom. Those are Esau's, remember? And not Esau's. Edom is Esau's. Moab and Ammon are, the Ammonites and the Moabites are Lot's children. And that's not for them, okay? They can marry, and there's stipulations and things like this. And of course, you have to convert your wife. I don't know how else to say it. Well, they get this whole beautiful culture and this wonderful, no. It's the same in where you're not supposed to marry out of your faith in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a taboo. I will say it has happened with men marrying out of the faith, but it's usually women I've seen. You know what I mean? And then of course, if two unbelievers marry and one gets saved, all bets are off. Okay, that's our story. Okay, but the other one quickly got saved too. And she was happy to continue with, well, I don't know if I'd say that, but she was tolerating me. And she could say, they live happily ever after. Listen, don't rock the boat. Just leave that one alone. Anyway, we both unbelievers when we got married. We both readily admit that. So there was no unequally yoked. I wasn't a believer who married I think she's really smoking hot. I think I'll just marry her, and I don't care what God said. That never crossed my mind. Well, smoking hot pot did, but the what God's will or anything, that never crossed my mind, because I wasn't praying what God's will for my life was. I was wanted what I wanted, and that's all there was to that. But there wasn't an unequal yoke about that. Okay? There is kind of here. Do they convert? Well, we don't know that, okay? We will, if I ever get moving. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Okay, did I mention that? I skipped that verse. Elimelech always dies in Moab. God's sovereignty in your life will die in your disobedience. You're near a place you're not supposed to be. You know, oh God, he just runs my whole life. Until he doesn't anymore. Now you're living in a place you ought not. You're being surrounded by people that you probably, and you're trying to maintain worship in a situation where it's, God is my king. That'll die. You know, I got to tell you something, and I say this with all my heart. You weren't made to live this life alone. You can't doeth. You need the support of a church. I don't think this, and the person who's, I got this all by myself, will slowly watch them all by themselves go off into oblivion. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of one was Orpah. I know it looks like Oprah almost, and that's what Oprah was named after, and there was a little dyslexia in whoever filled out the birth certificate. That's what I was told. But we won't keep mentioning her. She has really nothing to do with the story, although her name is similar, okay? And if I say Oprah, then you'll forgive me, but it's Orpah, and the name Orpah means, it means kind of graceful, like a hind, like a gazelle. And the word, it comes from the neck, which is a prominent, if you've ever seen a deer, a female deer, a doe, a deer, female deer, they have that long, slender neck, and it's a very graceful animal. And I think that's the picture here. And the name of the other is Ruth. Uncertain, some say it has to do with beauty. It doesn't say anywhere in this thing that she was fair of form and face, like it says about, you know, and the woman was beautiful to look upon, like it does with some scriptures about some women, right? Like, for instance, Rachel. Here it doesn't say anything about that. Obviously, she was to Mahlon, and obviously she will be to Boaz, but I'm tipping my hand a little bit. And they dwell there about 10 years. So they're married. They got these Moabite wives. Sometimes, you know, in Scripture that the wife will lead her husband astray and lead him off into, the best example of that is Solomon's wives. Is there any indication of that? We're not told. I think as they try to teach them Judaism without a temple, without a Passover, without Pentecost, without, how do you, it comes down to don't kill, don't lie, you know what I mean? It's all a bunch of rules then. There's no celebration, anyway. Mahlon, Chilion died also, both of them. Wow. A lot of stuff, listen, we're up to verse 5 and a lot of stuff has happened so far. Mahlon, Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So she's desolate. Who's the breadwinner? They don't have any. We have three widow women in a time when that's a really, listen, if you don't have a husband, you hope you have a son to take care of you. There is no, they ain't going to the town and getting relief. There is no welfare. There's no, we're talking beggar poor as soon as they run out of whatever meager savings they may have enjoyed. We don't know. But they're in a desperate situation all of a sudden. There's nobody to take care of them. And they probably died within a short time of each other, because you think one of them would have left, or, you know, if there was like 5 years apart, Orpah's, Chilion died and she goes back to her. I mean, but they're both, all three of them are left together. So you have an idea, you know, there was the sickness come through. I don't know. They were already kind of on the weak side anyway. Their constitution was compromised by famine, and I don't know. She arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. So whatever deliverer, Othniel, or you know, there were so many of them, Jephthah. I know a Jephthah, by the way. I'm working with a Jephthah. That's kind of crazy, all right? Whoever delivered them, the latest deliverer, and now God's blessing, and he's pouring out his blessing. And that news, those tidings reach all the way into Moab, which, by the way, is about 60 to 80 miles away, depending on what part of Moab. I mean, Jerusalem is Bethlehem's fixed, okay? But, you know, we're Moab. Or are we in Moab? Moab, Moab. You know what I mean? So it's about 60 to 80 miles away, depending. But she had heard this news. And she's got these two daughter-in-laws. Hey, she's going to make a beeline back for that. But you got to understand, it's 60 miles at the best. And it's 4,000 miles down to the Dead Sea. And now it's 3,000 miles up to Bethlehem. And it's about a 60-mile trip. Good luck, ladies. You're going to need it. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, I think she's thinking, I mean, they must be talking, but there's probably mostly tears, and I don't know, but she probably thinks, oh, they're so sweet, they're going to walk me part of the way. I don't think at this point Naomi's saying, hey, come with. As a matter of fact, she's going to discourage them. But I think that's what we're looking at here. A single woman, older, she's got, you know, married children. So think, in, you know, 40 to 50 range. I'm not saying that's old, especially when I'm looking at my own self. But it's not a spring chicken. This would be hard for a single teenager, like who's in the prime of health, making this travel, right? And they would be at the mercy of any ne'er-do-well who met them. So she's probably happy to have the company, but I don't think she's thinking in terms of, come on, ladies, let's go to Bethlehem. You know, let's all jump in there, the water's fine. You come with. As a matter of fact, we'll see. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. There's real love here. You know, mother-in-law jokes. Okay, let's bring them all out. Let's dust them off. Let's talk about them. I love to tell, you know, mother-in-law jokes and things like that. My mother-in-law, I was crazy in love with her. She loved me. We had a beautiful thing. It was, she... When I was arrogant, when I was a punk, and when I was less manly than the one before you now, she was very tolerant. And then she saw that I was treating her daughter well, and we gave her two grandkids, and she was all happy. She thought, and there was a time when, you know, she thought I was okay, and that was fine. And we grew to love each other, and I loved her very much. When she died, I was very, very, and I was very, very sad. I'm still very sad about that. You know, I think about that. We're very close, okay? So mother-in-law jokes, yes, let's laugh and let's. But when push comes to shove, you know, I understand what it is to love mother-in-law. So she's like, you know, go back to your house, go back to your, you know, you got. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. You're young enough, you're pretty enough, you can. Have another shot at this. Go for it. And there's tears because, like I say, there's closeness here. I think Naomi's quite a gal. I really do. She's so winsome that the thought of losing my mother-in-law is like agonizing, and they're crying. I bet they saw her devotion life. I bet she tried to teach them how to keep a Jewish home and things, and she probably was very loving and very doting on them, and I bet they had true love. They said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. No, Mom, we're staying with you. She's older. She needs to be taken care of. You ain't going back to Jerusalem all by yourself. Forget about it. That's the right answer, by the way. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from, will ye stay for them from having husbands? You're going to hold off having a husband till my imaginary children that I'm never going to have grow up? That's the question. It's kind of like, it deserves a no answer, by the way. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I have to say something. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. You know, listen, Naomi, dear lady, listen to me. She's not here. You listen to me for her on her behalf. You haven't read the end of the book. That's our problem. We haven't read the end of our book yet. I mean, our story, not the Bible. We know we're on Team Jesus. We win. We got that, okay? But, you know, I got to tell you something. Guys, listen, it's been really hard for me. And the hand of the Lord is again. And you're saying, Adam, you don't even know. You don't know. And so many times the battle is won and lost right here. We perceive that, oh, it's so bad and things are so terrible. Look at redemption is happening and she doesn't even know it. It's working all around her. She doesn't know chapter 2. She doesn't know chapter 3. She doesn't know chapter 4. She never met David. She's never met the son of David. I know we look at and bad things are happening. I think it is perilous times. I really believe that is the plan of redemption going forward. Oh, I have to believe that. I have to. Otherwise, you know what happens? We get so cynical and we get so dark and we look at everything and we read it through the eyes of like somebody who doesn't know what the Bible says and we can get real, oh, it's getting worse and worse and look, it's just only going to get bad and it's going to be... Wait a second. There's a God in heaven. I don't care who's in the Oval Office. I do care. I care deeply. But we're not electing Jesus Christ in November, okay? No matter who you vote for, there's people who are a lot closer, okay, than others, but Jesus isn't on the ballot. He will, when he comes and he rules and reigns with us, he's not going to have to go through an election, okay? I love that. And you can't, he's going to be here for 1,000 years, and nobody's voting him out. I love that too. 4 years and we're going to find somebody. No, no. I love that. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. It looks that way. I understand. And I don't want to be cavalier to her any more than I want to be to somebody else who's going through a struggle. But the answer is, no, it hasn't. You don't understand. They lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah walks out of Scripture. Now what happens to her eternally? Anybody's guess, okay? Does she know enough to know enough? I don't think she would have left. But her mother-in-law's wisdom prevails on her. Ruth will have none of this so-called wisdom, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, behold thy sister-in-law. Now she's not even Orpah anymore. She's a sister-in-law. You know when the Bible has names and they mean something, and you know when it withholds names, there's something there too. She's not even Orpah anymore. She's just her sister-in-law, and the name disappears. I think that's very significant. I told you before. I think I was talking about Sunday. The rich man and Lazarus, he didn't have a name. I don't think anyone in hell has a name. I can't prove that. You say, well, yeah, if, you know, I go to hell, that's Adam in hell. Well, I'm not going to hell, but I think you lose your name. Besides, who's using it? I mean, think about it. Names are very, very important. One of the things Jesus gives you is a white stone with your name on it, your new name written. Only him and you know it. How cool is that? And here it is. This is who you really are. This is what you were meant to be. This is your destiny forever. Oh, cool. I'll tell you what mine is, but I don't know. I know what I hope it is, but I don't know. But if you don't know Jesus, you never know who you really were meant to be. Is that the saddest thing you've ever heard? Here she's not even Orpah anymore. She's a sister-in-law. Behold, his sister-in-law has gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after and unto her gods. Oh. Let's not think about that anymore. Let's keep moving. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord, Yod-He, Vav-He, the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, the all-sufficient one, the ever, I am that I am, that Lord, you see what she's saying? She's using the name of the Lord. The Lord do so, she's putting herself under a very, very serious oath. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You and me were in this together. That's all there is to. This is beautiful. This is unexpectedly beautiful. From Ruth. Who knew? Naomi had lived a godly life enough so that Ruth says, listen, I've already been to the temple of Chemosh. Hard pass. What does she know at this point? Did she get somewhere alone with God and say, okay, God, if you're really there, listen, I love my mother-in-law. She's such a sweet, winsome. She is pleasant. I love her so much. I want to be with her. I want to be with you. Do you accept Moabites? I don't know how this thing works. That germ of faith, that seed of faith, did she take that? Did she reach out to God? Did she make a connection? Boy, I want to say yes. I'm reading the same verse as you did, but how do you come up with this? How do you make a vow like this without knowing something about God? No, I'm all in. Listen, we're not talking about this anymore. I'm in. End of discussion. And it is the end of the discussion. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, and she left speaking unto her. You know how when somebody's mind's made up? Well, it's not that this is a hard-headed, stubborn mule of a girl. She's, I would say, steadfast, and she's correct. That's the right move. Ruth, you have no idea who you just called on. You have no idea about his blessing. You can't even conceptualize his love for you or his great goodness for you or the exciting plan of redemption that he's rolling out, that he's working out. You have no... She's like you. She's like me. Right? What did you... Were you looking for fire insurance? What were you... Are you going to try Jesus? How did you get in? But you got much more than you bargained for, didn't you? You had no idea. You think like, whatever, and let's... I don't know how... What you thought and what you got, they're never the same. Nope, it's you and me, Mom. She left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. 60, 80 miles, I don't know. And they two went until they came to Bethlehem. How much water do you have to take? How much food? How much buying along the way? How many towns did they pass? I don't know any of this stuff. They made it because God had a plan for this young lady and for this older lady. God loves Ruth and he loves Naomi. And there's a plan of redemption. I've got this all figured out. I need you guys over here. Ruth, you go with. Orpah, you want to go back? Oh. Okay. Listen, the choice is yours, and it comes right down to it, isn't it? God's sovereign. And so are you. I don't understand it any more than you understand it. Two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She's 10 years old, and I bet she looks haggard. You know, I've not seen somebody in 10 years. Somebody seen me in 10 years. See me 10 years later. Boy, you got gray. Hey, I earned every one of them. You leave me alone. I didn't steal a one of them. 10 years will do that to you. 10 years will make you older. 10 years and your spouse dies and your sons die. Yeah, I bet it took its toll. Is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one? She said unto them, call me not Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Call me bitter old hag. For the Almighty, she won't even say Yod Heh Vav Heh. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Okay. I get that. She needs a hug. She needs her community to come around, embrace her, and tell her, no, it's going to be okay. You lost your husband. Well, you know, this one here has lost. It happens. We're here for you. And they come around and give her support. That's what should happen in a situation like this. She needs the church. She needs the people of God, if I can put it that way. Boy, we all do. But you're wrong. You're still just seeing your eyes are focused on the wrong things. Yeah, I'm sure you loved your husband. I'm sure. I'm sure you loved your children. I'm not disparaging the woman, but God's plan is afoot. He's working some stuff, okay? You'll look back in this time and years to come, and when you're older and full of days, and you'll think, isn't God been gracious to me? I went out full, and wait a second, I have to stop right in the start of the verse. Then why'd you go? If you thought you were so full going out, why'd you go? Was it like, okay, it's really tough, there's not a lot, the price of food is astronomical, you know, we've got to scrimp and save just to get by. Because you know what the thing is like a lot of times we look and we just, it's tough, and we mountainize our molehills. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You still don't see the whole, but I understand. You haven't read the book. I get it. Listen, what's going to happen to you where you're going to turn your back on the Lord? What could happen? Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. We sing. From time to time, right? You're a good person. You're following the Lord with your a good person, like, you know what I mean. You're following the Lord with your whole heart. You love the Lord. And what's going to happen? People who you love are going to die. There'll be sickness. There'll be tough times. There'll be struggles. There'll be recession. Oh boy, I could have stayed home and been cheered. Stayed home, watch a MASH reruns or something. Yeah, this is really cheerful. Hey, look, I'm just telling you the way it is. And now we're going to shake an angry fist and go, oh, you've been so hot. Now, I understand. Get the bitter out. Say whatever complaint. Pour it out to him. He's got broad shoulders. He can handle it. And then get on with the business of worshiping him, because he deserves all our praise and worship. And he hasn't left us bitter. I went out full, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So she's saying, and this is what the thing is, I shouldn't have left. He's afflicted me. See, if I hadn't have gone, I'd still be enjoying his blessing. But I left, and now so hard to live with. When you do something wrong, and then you're like, I made my bed, now I'm lying in it. I know what you're saying, because I said the same thing. Her husband made a decision, and she has to, she's not like a woman's liver. They don't have the, okay, husband, that's where we're going. And God's punishing her? I don't know about that. God's working out his plan. Listen, I want you to go to Moab. Even in your rebellion, in your I got a plan. You're going to hook up with this lady named Ruth. She's going to be instrumental to the... Well, it could have been anyone, right? That's not how God works. It's Ruth. I want it to be Ruth. I'm drawing a picture here, too, God's saying. She's a Moabite. She's not even in the covenant. She's not... She's less than... Moab, right? Remember when he says... Edom is my wash pot and Moab is, I can't remember, in one place. He's like, Moab, that's, psh. And now he's taking a lady from there and making her part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And you know where we're going. I mean, sorry, spoiler alert, right? but you know, y'all know that. He's working his plan of redemption even when things are dark, even during death. Even when a loss of a spouse, even when loss of kids, even during this whole thing, he's working out his plan of redemption. Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her. Because ain't nothing but death going to separate us there. Which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, it ends with a positive note. Barley what? Harvest. Okay, April, May in Israel time is about. So they're in the springtime, and the barley's just getting ripe, and that's going to be part of our story because she's going to, you know, she's got like about 6 weeks of employment here between barley and then wheat harvest and she's going to catch somebody's eye, maybe. We'll see. I haven't read it. I don't read ahead because I don't want to get too. Yeah, you know I'm lying. Okay. Anyway, wonderful story. Wonderful story. But remember, it's redemption written all over it. We haven't talked about the kinsman redeemer yet. We haven't talked about the Goel. We haven't talked about Boaz. Going to get so exciting. Anyway, it's exciting already. We met some people and some tragedy happened, and through it all, God's working. He always will. Here's a verse. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, Lord, I should have stuck around. I should have played out the hand that you dealt me. I should have, but I ran off to Moab, and now you can't deal with me. Relax. I'm still in control. You didn't do anything to derail my plan. It's not over. I haven't washed my hands of you. I'm still God, and things are still working the direction I want. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to become unto the likeness of the image of his Son. In whose name we pray, Father, bless us. Bless us with your word. Bless us with understanding. And Lord, through these afflictions, during these tough times, help us to remember. Yeah, we're gonna go through some tough times sometimes. I think today, tomorrow, we may be being blessed in one area, Lord, and being struggling in another. And certainly, Lord, we're living in the time of the judges. But Lord, despite everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, we want to do what's right in your eyes. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.